showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And, I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
Oh, yeah, in honor of Trevor Valise coming into the station earlier today. It's good to see Trevor.
It was.
So we thought we'd play an old intro for Mr. Valise. Trevor Valise.
He didn't give us any juicy details because his new boss, Jeff Goodman, was at Illini basketball practice today.
I saw that. I saw that and said that he would join us down the road because he's at Butler's practice, I guess, right now. Now, you know that my affinity for, is that the right word? Jeff Goodman is not that high.
Well, don't put that out there. We're trying to get him on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, he's not listening, probably. Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe he is. No, but I'd love to have
him
on.
Maybe he's like, let me listen to a podcast just so I get a feel of what this show's like when I go on there. Right off the bat. I don't like the guy at all.
Well, you could do the interview. No, he shouldn't worry about that. In fact, to me, Jeff Goodman would be like, good. I'm glad that he doesn't like me. I can't wait to go on now. But no, listen, what he does is incredible. I mean,
him stealing Trevor creates the beef that should be there anyway. So
that's exactly right.
I think it's good for ratings.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, why have I forgotten his name? The old intern years and years ago, he and I did not like each other. And I cannot remember his name now. Wheels. Was that his name?
I don't know.
Dan Whelan? Is that what? Was that right?
Before my time.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. He and I... We did not care for each other. Actually, we really thought each other were pretty cool. But on the air, man, we played that off like, come on, Wheels. It was awesome. Real quick, before we dig into something else, I had a couple of people on the U of I Lightning Link text line say Vinny Testaverde. And like twice today, people have been like, how could you forget? Like it was Jack Trudeau and Vinny Testaverde. And I know these are loyal listeners and we appreciate them. But I'm laughing. I'm like, the funniest part is I can be listening to KMOX or The Score in Chicago driving down the road, and they will be like, who was the cubby that blah, blah, and I'll be like, Bob Denier. And then about 2 minutes later, like, oh, it was Bob Denier. And I'm like, yeah, duh, I said that. It's hard when you're actually on the air sometimes.
A little harder.
You flip the mics on, and you're trying to collectively remember stuff. And like you said, without just going,
you can't really pause and go, I wonder
who else, Vinny.
We're supposed to be talking.
But to their point, Touche, yeah. Why I would think of Gino Toretta and ahead of Vinny Testaverde is they're spot on.
We appreciate them chipping in because it keeps us in check and it rounds out between us and them. We can all figure this thing out. Ken Dorsey, another one from Miami.
Ken Dorsey. Good call, man. Ken Dorsey.
That's a little bit more of my era.
I was going to
say. Early 2000s.
He was a tall, skinny dude, wasn't
him
he?
And, Willis McGahee.
He's the one that got hurt on the beach.
Was it on the beach? It was in that game against Ohio State, right?
Oh, that's right. Who was the dude, the NFL dude, that had a great rookie year, went to the Pro Bowl, and they played touch football on the beach, and he tore up his knee? You got to Google that.
Someone Kyle, in their car is like, of course it's.
How could you forget that? Kyle, can you Google that? Kyle is Googling NFL player tore up knee in beach at Pro Bowl. That's all you got to do. I think I just told you guys, I was actually looking up the hot mom and Stranger Things. Don't ask me how we got down that path, but I told you guys, I'm like, do you know how lucky you are to have Google and Wikipedia and stuff? Like, We literally, back in my day, just had to figure it out. Like, we had to sit around all night and be like, who, what was that guy's name? It wasn't Clinton Portis. I'm trying to think. Are you finding anything, Kyle? Kyle is not finding anything. Not at all, huh? Not at all. All right. Well, keep digging, and we'll get back to you when you find it, or the listener. We'll see who's better, the listener or Kyle, the intern, trying to figure out who the NFL player that tore up his knee, or maybe he was a college guy, but tore up his knee playing sand touch football at, like, the Pro Bowl, I think. So, who knows? So, Jeff Goodman was in town. I saw his tweet saying that this team doesn't look anything like an Illinois team in the last few years, but we knew that.
Correct.
Yeah.
We did.
A lot of just interchangeable parts, like you've talked about.
A lot of versatility, a lot of length, more athleticism. And, yeah, it's going to be excited to see how those all mesh together. You got freshmen, you got transfers, you got guys stepping in new roles like Coleman Hawkins, RJ Melendez. And I know he also mentioned the ball movement, which is encouraging for a team that is still going to take a while to gel together, but knowing that multiple players can make a play off the dribble, it's exciting to know that, hey, Coleman Hawkins can be on the perimeter, drive his guy if he's matched up on a big man. That creates a breakdown, kicks it over to a corner. That we've seen some really good Illinois teams, and when they have that chemistry,
yes,
that passing, that usually bodes pretty well.
Yeah, it honestly does. Let's pause for a second because Kyle's got an answer. Now, before I go to him, I'm not looking at the text line. I'm not looking at the text line. Okay, is the last one about Dokic?
I can't see what it says. I know there's a new message.
Is the dude's last name Edwards?
Yes.
What was his name?
Robert Edwards.
Now, was he a rookie in the NFL?
Yes.
And then he tore up his knee playing.
It was like, I think it did say like Pro Bowl festivities or something like that.
I don't think he was ever the same. I don't think he was ever the same after that. And I mean, he was at the Pro Bowl as a rookie. That just tells you. All right, thank you, Kyle. Well done. You beat the listeners. That was awesome. Right, let's see if somebody just sent it in.
So then when we say... They got it, didn't
everybody
they?
Started ripping in Robert Edwards, Robert Edwards, Robert. Thank you, everybody.
When we critique these All-Star games and the Pro Bowl for not having more fun events,
exactly.
Apparently that might be part of the reason.
Robert Edwards' name comes
no
up.
No unnecessary injuries.
Once a year he comes up now. That's his claim to fame. He didn't make $200 million. Huh. He just comes up on every local radio broadcast about the Pro Bowl. Fill me in on the gentleman coming in to visit Illinois basketball. In fact, we had a question on it earlier today, the first question of the day. I don't remember who sent that. I apologize to you. But Dre, is that his name?
Don't forget about Dre. Dre Gibbs Lawhorn, former Purdue commit. He decommitted from the Boilers at the beginning of August. He goes to Mount Verd, same high school that Sky Clark attended down in Florida last year. Basketball powerhouse, one of the few, like I guess some would call him a prep school, but a really good high school program. He's originally from Lafayette, Indiana. He's bounced around a little bit in terms of high schools, but since opening his recruitment up, Tim Anderson has a connection to him. And also he's worked it hard. Brad Underwood's been involved. And as Illinois, we've talked about it year in, year out, has a very talented backcourt and a deep stable of guards, something that Brad Underwood's always going to try to covet in each and every year trying to build this roster. So he's someone that can really, really score it. I know that Purdue, when they had him committed, thought of him as a Carson Edwards type, a big-time scoring guard, can play on or off the ball. He is a combo, 6'1", shoots the three well, and a good athlete. He's someone that can he's had on his highlight tape some really impressive blocks, which you don't really expect for a 6'1" guy can finish above the rim. And I think that he'll fit in well with Jaden Epps, with Sky Clark, and just having more options in that backcourt. And, man, to – we've seen it here. This isn't a surprise to elevate the standard of what the just, I don't even call him regular, but the type of recruit that Brad Underwood brings in now, where your roster's littered with top 100 talents, he fits along that mold. And just to have that type of expectation now, I mean, in the past, you'd be like, oh, a top 100 guard is visiting. Oh. And now it's like, of course, a top 100 guard is visiting.
That's so well said. Of course, a top 100 guard.
So this will be his first visit since decommitting and opening things back up. So that, it's a good sign. Illinois has done well, and they've pursued him hard.
I was looking at something, but you may have mentioned it. It's Illinois and
Memphis is the other team that has really Illinois and Memphis have both pushed the gas hard
to this point
and have made it clear that he's a priority for them. It remains to be seen who else is really going to emerge, if there are going to be some other players. I mean, he's at one time, he's dropped a little bit in the rankings. He's coming off a major injury that he had a year ago, so he's been a little inconsistent with his play, but he's at one time a top 50 guy, and even you go back to him as a sophomore, he 24/7 had him as the number 10 player in the country.
Holy cow.
That shows how talented he is. Texas has been involved. Chris Beard was down to see him and some others at Mount Verde last week. Gonzaga, UCLA, Virginia, North Carolina, some other schools that have been linked to him. We'll see just who ultimately, in addition to Illinois and Memphis, really want him.
Do we worry at all about, like, former injuries? Like, Sky Clark has the knee injury. Now you got Dre that's coming off an injury. But that was more of what, just an ankle?
He broke his ankle and fractured his foot. But he has played a year since then and played well on the EYBL circuit, in particular in the spring. Was a little up and down in the summer, but did some very good things. And, yeah, he's healthy now and all is good. So I think that there's no real concern there. And in terms of decommitting from Purdue, I know that NIL, someone – we got to hook up one of these trains with a telegram or something to send it all the way to West Lafayette. You got to be good at NIL to recruit well. So the buzz around that one is that, NIL is going to be a factor in this. Purdue isn't doing all too well in being competitive on the NIL front. So that was part of losing him. And Illinois is doing just fine NIL-wise. And I think that puts them in a good spot in addition to the other aspects of the recruiting pitch.
I want
to
play one thing, and then I got a question about NIL. There it is. You asked, and I...
Delivered.
Yeah, that would be the way. Gifted, I was going to say. I'm like, what? Gifted. Here's old Dre. I thought of this last night. Don't ask me. I mean, again, everybody knows my brain. I was in bed, actually, and I thought of that. Well, I know what I read the article that you had written on Illini Inquirer. So there, I read your stuff while I'm in bed. And then I have these horrible nightmares about NIL. And no, I'm kidding. But I thought to myself, Purdue has not been very good in this NIL. Like, they're not off to a roaring start in this. And I'm not sure. Like, I could almost see Purdue, Wisconsin, but maybe I'm wrong on Wisconsin. I just wonder how that could change the landscape. Like, Purdue, under Gene Cady and Matt Painter, they have been, one of those top five basketball teams, right, programs in the Big Ten. I don't think there's any doubt. And then you look at it, and now you wonder. Now, I mean, nothing's happened yet. They still had a great year last year, et cetera. Got upset, of course, in the tournament. But you wonder, like, if this will take Purdue to the bottom of the Big Ten and how it could affect and how ultimately it could change the tide on certain programs that have always been very competitive when things were like they were. And now all of a sudden NIL rolls around and, if this kid, I'm not saying he's not going to Purdue because of NIL, but if all of a sudden you got a kid from Purdue that wants to go to Purdue, but then Illinois steps in and says, well, we could do this. And then he's like, oh, sorry, Purdue, I'm going to Illinois. I just wonder how much it will change the landscape of the Big Ten in terms of teams that have maybe done well in the Big Ten, but now because of the lack of support possibly, they're not going to be able to kind of play with the big boys or the big dogs, if you know what I mean.
It is a very interesting question. Now, on the front end, I'll say this, like Wisconsin has shown, and they've bashed me over the head with it time and time again, when I look at their roster going into a season and be like, yeah, they're not going to be very good. And yet they figure out a way with the way they develop players. They mine for talent in that, yeah, their recruiting class is ranked 12th or 13th in the Big Ten, but they seem to find the right kind of guys. So, yep. Purdue hasn't always been they recruit in a different echelon than Wisconsin has for the most part. Now, I know Bo Ryan, especially towards the end, some of the players that he was able to get. I mean, Sam Decker was a five-star, right?
No doubt.
I think that Devin Harris was probably a pretty good recruit. But for the most part, they were under the radar. That was kind of the standard. Purdue has had some good players, like Caleb Swanigan. The late Caleb Swanigan was a really talented recruit. I believe Juwan Johnson was probably a pretty good player coming out of high school.
Etuan Moore and those guys back in the day.
Yeah, Etuan Moore was probably a top 50, top 75 type of guy. But Carson Edwards was, he was a high 3-star. I think that was probably more of a good evaluation or just picking the right spot there. But to your point, even if you make a good evaluation, you didn't win some crazy recruiting battle out of high school. If you hit and the guy is really good, all of a sudden he's going to say, all right, it's been great playing for Purdue. I've hit my mark. I'm an all Big Ten type of player. But I could – why are guys in Indiana and Illinois and around the league making big NIL money if it's not going on here at Purdue? Why should I stay? So I think if Purdue is not going to do that, they're going to put themselves in a really tough situation. Now, Painter's a great coach, first and foremost.
Sure.
And then they have a good culture and everything. I could still see them winning. It just caps your ceiling if you're not going to be able to get some of the top players. Like Nigel Pack, look, it's hard to compete with what Miami's throwing out there, but he was considered maybe the top point guard in the transfer portal out of Kansas State, and all indications, he's from Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
All indications, he was going to go to Purdue until Purdue was like, yeah, we can't do a whole lot on NIL front. And Miami's like, hey, $600,000.
Holy cow. Yeah.
So there is some middle ground in there.
Right.
But at the same time, like where Illinois is at and how they've been doing NIL-wise in comparison to Purdue. And some of the questions, I've read some stuff from those that cover Purdue, and a discouraging thing from on their end is like, how much interest is there actually from like Matt Painter's side? It's just like one of those stubborn, I just don't really believe it should be part of the equation.
Like Izzo almost.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like not only can maybe Purdue's alumni base isn't as big or as flush with money as some others, but is there even that interest to try to get the funds, you know, drawn up and to really be that competitive?
It does make you wonder, right? Because Illinois, you know, they always boast about it's the biggest alumni association in the world or whatever. I mean, just makes you wonder if, you know, there's a lot. If there's more money on that end, then you're going to win the battle in the end a lot of times. So, no, that's interesting. That'll be something to kind of, you know, just check out and look at as we go. All right, Brett Bielema. We haven't heard from him in a little bit. His team obviously suits up this Thursday night against Chattanooga, 7:30 kickoff at Memorial Stadium. When we come back, he had a chance to meet with the media today, answered a variety of questions about his squad, what they did during the bye week, how they kind of self-scouted a little bit, and then, of course, looking forward to Chattanooga. You'll hear all that when we return. It is The Drive.
There's one name you need to know in car repair in the Central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change. Trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
If you want a steak, I mean a steak, prepared the way you want it, you've got to go to Long Branch Steakhouse. Hi, it's Jay Lehman. It's been over a year since I was introduced to Donnie at the Long Branch Steakhouse in Gifford. And when I want a great steak, that's where I go. And the sides, the Brussels sprouts, the mac and cheese, and the salad with Donnie's secret frog dressing. Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. There's always room for the Long Branch Steakhouse.
Mattex, feel the difference as you nominate a law enforcement official to receive a free HVAC unit during their Honoring the Blue giveaway. To show appreciation for keeping our community safe, Mattex is giving away a brand new heating and cooling system, complete with installation and warranty, to a law enforcement official who goes beyond the call of duty. Nominate now through October 14th. For details, visit mattexservice.com/blue.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Long's Garage in Urbana and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer cost-effective solutions to your present engine or transmissions trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Long's Garage install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Long's Garage at 367-3942. Long's Garage, 217-367-3942.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Dwayne Linton, a nationally certified nurse in the emergency department at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I work with a team of people who really care about what they do and are very flexible and adaptive in rapidly changing critical situations, and I would trust any of them at any time.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Dwayne in a supportive environment, visit carl.org/careers.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper. I have Derek Piper now up on YouTube. But for the whole first hour, I had this guy, Kyle Tosk, who was doing nothing. Doing absolutely nothing.
I'm sure he
nothing.
Has the podcast done.
Well, that's true. Kyle, what were you doing in the first hour when people watching YouTube are watching you do nothing?
I was typing on my laptop and then uploading the podcast.
There you go. He was doing like college things.
That's right.
Doing homework and stuff. How are your classes going?
They're going pretty well so far.
Okay. Okay. You're studying the communications?
I hope to, yeah. Okay. I'm technically undecided. I'm in the Division of General Studies as a freshman, but that is what I hope to do is okay. Broadcasting journalism.
I love it. I love it. And your dad, he went to college here?
He did, class of 89.
Yeah,
so
he and Jeff.
He had a great time.
He and Jeff George, baby. Did your mom go to school here?
Yes,
okay,
both parents.
So that's awesome. Okay. They live now where?
Clarendon Hills, Illinois. It is a suburb west of Chicago.
Okay, Clarendon Hills. I don't know if I've heard of Clarendon
Hills.
It's
a very small town.
Okay, that might be the first time I've heard of that. So, all right, Kyle, good to have you here doing nothing. That's the key with Kyle. He did look up Robert Edwards. And like you said, Pipes, he's already broadcast, he's already podcast.
Yeah, just give him a little credit.
No, I'm kidding.
A little bit.
I never give interns credit.
I know.
Do I?
It's
I mean,
a bit.
Yeah, it's a bit, and I like them all, minus Wheels and
Hans
D, until his mom painted me the most glorious three pictures I've ever seen, and now I'm like, I like Hans.
We need to ask Kyle about the Dolphins game.
No!
Because he's now a resident Dolphins expert.
I forgot.
I'm fired up about it. It was quite the game. I was actually back home, so I got to watch it with my dad, and we were just about to turn it off. I mean, third quarter. But man, that was phenomenal.
Do you want to scorch all the Tua haters out there? Is it time to do that? Are you buying?
It's Dolphins Bills this Sunday. I would love to see a repeat performance. I'm encouraged by it, but I want to see it.
I think you're running into a juggernaut.
I'm not looking forward to it.
Is that a night game or is that?
No, it's at noon.
Okay.
In Miami, it'd be a heck of a game.
It will be. Oh, it's in Miami. Maybe the hot weather will affect the Bills.
Yeah. Well, Josh Allen's 7-1 against the Dolphins since he entered the league.
Okay.
So
well, maybe not.
I don't have much hope, but hey, never know.
I can't relate to quarterbacks in a division owning you. I've never heard of that.
I think Josh Allen is probably 7-1 against a lot of teams. You know, I mean, especially everybody in that East. He's amazing. I mean, that Bills team is fun to watch. They actually have video of Stephon Diggs catching a touchdown right now. I mean, that were they 41 last night?
I believe so.
I mean, Tennessee had a fumble, I think, in their own territory. And the next thing, it was 24-7. It was kind of a game. And the next thing you know, it's 41-7. I mean, the Bills are really good.
They are, and I think that the fact that Josh Allen is humming with that offense, they even had Gabe Davis out last night, their number two receiver, and still Diggs just torched the Titans. How good their defense has looked has probably been, I wouldn't say a surprise because they were one of the top units in the league last year,
sure.
But to shut down Derrick Henry, I mean, Derrick Henry had what, like 36 rushing yards?
That's it.
So they've added Von Miller up front, which I know you raved about him after that Rams game, getting back and just crushing Stafford.
Yep.
The pass rush, a good secondary, a good run defense, and then just a ridiculous – I hesitate to say this because the Chiefs are still really fun to watch.
No doubt.
Maybe the most fun offense to watch in football right now.
It is for me. I had zero fantasy in this thing. I did have the parlay, don't get me wrong, so I was needing a Bills win, but I was not worried at all, not concerned at all about Buffalo winning that. So I really had no dog in the fight. I just watched that game. I just enjoy watching Buffalo's offense. And I love watching the Bills fans, because that is a that is an organization that came so close four times with Jim Kelly. And that was very cool to see a healthier Jim Kelly kind of lead the let's go Buffalo before the game and see all of that happening. So it was just really cool. And then Laura Rutledge, I think she does a wonderful job on the sidelines. So I mean, I just last night was just a really solid showing for Monday Night Football in that game.
Did you hear the Orlovsky sneeze fart that was going around on Twitter?
No.
When they were on the air, he sneezed and then farted. It was a long pause. Surprised we haven't had one of those. Especially you, in all your years you've been on the air.
Well, right. No, I've never done that.
You haven't achieved that.
Never sneezed farted, I guess. In my time at Stevie J Broadcasting, I can work on it. I mean, I can work on that. As I get older, I'm sure it'll just occur. All right, here's what we got. Let's switch over to college football. Coach Bielma, Brett Bielma, met with the media today getting Illinois ready against Chattanooga. Let's hear some snippets of this. Here is your Illinois football coach.
Obviously, a little bit of a unique preparation as far as, you know, I was watching Taylor walk down the hallway, gave out some staff notes right at the end of the Bills game yesterday, and I'm watching Monday Night Football, but in my staff notes, I'm talking about how this is Thursday morning, right, tomorrow morning. So it's just a little bit different preparation, fortunately for us. We had the bye week, which allowed us to start practicing as a normal game week. Thought our guys have handled that well, but it is a difference, right? So last night, as a Monday Night Football, where they're usually trained into thinking, you know, 5 days before game day, but now it's, you know, 3 days away. So a lot of things that are a little bit different, but I think our guys have handled it. Obviously, a lot of respect for UT Chattanooga to be a 3-0 football team. We have some really good players. Obviously, a first-round draft pick a year ago, so they have players literally at every position. They've won football games, and they're very well thought of and respected, especially in this building. So from an injury standpoint, should be everybody out there except for, obviously, Josh, but everybody else will be back with us that has been limited or injured in the past. So we're looking for Alec Bryan. Had a concussion, so he's back. Actually, he had been with us all during the bye week. No issues there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else, but those guys are back and should be good to go. With that, open up for questions.
Barry talked a lot about using the bye week just to address some of the issues he saw in the offense in the first three games. Do you feel like you were able to tackle maybe some of what you wanted to see there?
Who said that, Barry?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. One of the things, offense, defense, and special teams, right when we got done with the Virginia game, we just kind of wanted to do a self-scout of what have we done well, what haven't we done well. Some of it very obvious, some of it kind of hidden within the numbers. So asked every phase to kind of do that. We hit that specifically on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, trying to kind of really be specific about little details we're working. Thursday was all UT Chattanooga prep, but really try to attack the things through the first three ball games that we needed improvement on. And obviously, offensively, Barry has a plan. I think we are still, you know, we're going into game four of a new offense, new offensive coordinator, new way of doing things, new way of saying things. It's a completely different tempo than our guys are used to. So I think it's kind of a little bit of a microcosm of what you've seen. They've done some things really, really well and some things that have not gone as well as we wanted. But the basic elements of hanging on the football, playing clean football, penalty free, those are things that got to be a staple of what we're doing.
Coach, did it help you when Northwestern got beat by FCS school? I mean, that's kind of another reminder of that, hey, anybody can beat anybody type
thing. I think, obviously, that's an easy one to kind of serve up, you know, that happens. But, again, I don't coach Northwestern. Don't worry about Northwestern for one game of the year. So it is, I think, a constant reminder. I think not just FCS. I think anybody can get anybody in any given football right now in the world that we're living in with portals and, you know, guys playing at a higher level. I think it really gets down to how the two teams show up on Saturday. You don't have to do anything but perform at your best, and usually the things that you do there are good enough to hopefully put yourself in a position to win. And this Thursday night, it's going to be obviously UT Chattanooga, but it's 11-on-11 in all three phases of the game and see what happens.
Do you do anything differently with your team, like mentally, when you play Virginia, then an FCS team, then Wisconsin? You know, classic trap game, players are looking ahead kind of thing.
I think Robert
would address that.
I think again, the outside world views things differently than people in the building, right? Like, I don't even know if our guys would say FCS. I know I haven't said it.
So I think the part that we have to install, I said it from our opening game against Wyoming, and I obviously have said it every game since then, and then to the going into this week, we respect all, fear none, right? So we're going to play UT Chattanooga, which everybody's going to point out from the outside rules in FCS, and we're also going to play every Big Ten opponent that we played a year ago in rematch games. Obviously, Virginia was a rematch game. We have a couple new opponents this year, obviously, with Michigan State and Michigan, which is unique for us to have those that we didn't have a year ago. So I get it. I think the outside world sees it as that. Our guys look at it as we were guaranteed 12 opportunities before the year started, and this is number four.
Is anything that stands out about how the game day operation offensively, just with the new coordinator and tempo, has changed from that week zero game to going into now?
Yeah. Every game's been a little bit different. I think in the Wyoming game, obviously, you know, we first time any of our players had ever taken calls from in our system, right? Had taken calls from the sideline at the line of scrimmage, whether it be tight ends and running backs in the core of the formation or wide receivers on the edge, and obviously the quarterback, you know, relaying all the calls. It's just a learning process they got to go through. I think there's been some times where you know, the growing pains of that has been very, very evident, but we've really stressed that in practice, tried to make it as hard as we can on our guys to make Saturdays as easy as possible. But then also just the basic fundamentals of how I believe you got to win football games, which is obviously, you know, ball security, playing ahead of the chains, not putting yourself in bad positions from penalties. Those are things that, whether it's practice or games, they always show up, and they show up in either a positive way or a negative way.
And it's been penalties have been a bit more frequent, and maybe through those first few games. I mean, I'm not sure how do you address that, because I mean sometimes they just pop up. I mean, I'm not sure if you can.
They are, but they don't. So, you know, we've had a number of penalties. You know, that, in my opinion, I always say this: you have pre-snap and post-snap penalties, which have to be eliminated, right? To me, those are controlled by us, right? So, if you have a pre-snap penalty, that's usually because you've done something before the snap to cause the official to, hey, you've tried to create an advantage, whether it's, you know, a simple thing is too many men on the field, false start, procedural error, alignment error, and then you have post-snap penalties, which are controllable, right? So, you know, players that react to an offensive or defensive play that, you know, we've had a couple different examples of both an offensive player and a defensive player reacting to something, whether they were the first guy or the second guy, it really doesn't matter. It's the fact that we were called for, right? And that's post-snap penalties. So, to me, those are very controllable, right? We have to, no matter what's being said, if we do well statistically in the country in pre-snap and post-snap penalties, we're going to put ourselves in a position to win a lot of games. Now, a penalty that occurs during after the snap and before the whistle, those are things that I think you say some people might be able to live with, right? A holding call. I understand holding calls are going to happen. I understand that DPI is going to happen. I understand occasionally there may be a high-low block or something that is not intentional. It's just a product of the play. And we've had a couple of those, but we can definitely control certain things. We had a couple blocks in the back. You know, I think that the way we talk and communicate with the officials, they're human beings, right? So how we say and comprehend and speak to them can have a direct result on what they may or may not call on you, right? I think officials are human beings. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I do think penalties are very controllable.
Similar with turnovers and ball security that you talk about, is it symptomatic of something sometimes, or is it can seem random?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, you look at Chase Brown, who had a fumble last week, right, or not last week, but in the Virginia game, that is very uncharacteristic of Chase, right? He's usually very, very solid and comfortable with the ball, right? And there was a moment there that he obviously, you know, wasn't able to hold on to football. That happened. PB, if you see his play right down the goal line, he's literally coming to T-bar, which is our technique when we're in traffic, and he just didn't get it up there. He's about 4 inches away, so he's got to get it up there a little bit quicker. Yeah, there's a variety of different things that have popped up that I would say this, right? I mean, we're a 2-1 football team. I'd much rather be 3-0, but we're trying to go 1-0 this week, and the things that we've learned, fortunately, we've been able to overcome those things, right? And it's much better to coach those moments out of winning moments than losing moments.
Confidence-wise, have you seen any growth this year so far that you expect to see or hope to see in terms of just the way the guys look in practices and on the field and all that stuff?
Should confidence.
Confidence-wise.
Yeah. You know, one of our major points since last spring, through the spring, through the summer, and then going into fall camp, and they actually, you know, made it a goal, was prepare and expect to win. And I think that you definitely see that. I made that point even you know, even to our guys in the pregame locker room at Indiana and the postgame locker room. I think everybody in that building expected to win that game. We didn't do it, and
there were certain reasons, but we fell short. And I think now those guys know, hey, I can go to that moment. This is why we had failure there, right? And as opposed to, hey, maybe we had the right call, maybe we had the right situation, maybe we had the right player, he just didn't know if he could do it. And I think there's a big difference there, and hopefully we're going to continue to step forward in that progress.
As you guys get close to that four-game threshold for the redshirt, like, what specific elements do you look at when deciding whether to pursue that fifth game or dial back?
Yeah, some of it's pretty easy. You know, for instance, I took James Crutes out of the lineup, right, and put Jared Beatty into the lineup. Crutes had played three games. I told him when the season started, my intent was to play him for three to the bye week and see where we're at. And then, you know, I have kind of four guys in that window. I got Krutzy, Jared Beatty, Malachi Hood, and Luke Zardzin is another guy that possibly could pop into that mix. And I really wanted to use those guys in a four-game rotation to see kind of exactly where we are with them playing-wise. Obviously, Jared was injured, so he couldn't go, but he'll play in the game on Thursday night. Krutzy won't. So sometimes it's just simple math, but a guy like, Hank Beatty, you know, what are the freshmen? Gabe Akis, Matt Bailey, those guys, they're playing, right? And unless something changes dramatically, those guys are going to play in every game and see where they go. So it's a little bit kind of individual case scenario. I think one of the great things the NCAA did is allowed us to play these freshmen in four games, and it kind of allows them to see it, get their feet wet, but if they're not really playing from the line of scrimmage, unless we just want to totally use their year because of a special team situation, that you can rotate them in and let them get the feel of college football for four games.
Just for clarity, Jared's still with outside backers, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
School's going to honor a Hall of Fame class this weekend, and Jeff George is one of them. I assume you crossed over, played the game against him. Just your memory, thoughts about him, what kind of player?
Yeah, I actually crossed paths with Jeff as a player. And then obviously was very well aware of him when I came here, and then we crossed paths in a recruiting process as well. So, kind of a cool thing for us to bring in this weekend. Coach Gunther is a guy that I've known probably over 15 years now. I first met him with Coach Alvarez at a Big Ten function, and just automatically sat down and really had a great appreciation for who he is and what he was. And then as time flies, right, like I would always go down and sit by Coach Gunther at any event I was at. This is back when I was at Wisconsin, Arkansas, having no idea where we were going to come at today.
Sure.
So a couple weeks ago, I asked him to be our guest captain, and he'll address the team tomorrow at 3:30 and get a chance to visit with the crew. And he was out there a week ago on Thursday before the Virginia game, and just hearing his wisdom, his knowledge, his passion for Illinois has been a pretty awesome thing. Obviously, you know, him and Josh have a close relationship, and to see that continue to build and grow, I'm really excited to get Coach Gunther in here tomorrow. And then, to all the inductees, there's players of all sports, female and male, that I know this will be a big weekend for a lot of people involved.
Jeff Beach, sorry to bring up that.
89, I think he had to. 89, I was redshirted, so I don't know.
Not your fault. Not your fault.
Yeah, well, no, I just, I remember him. I remember being on the sideline. I don't think I really played in that game. I definitely remember he was a good player.
You mentioned in August that you wish it a little hotter out there
for
practices and such. Now you got a 90-degree day in September. Is that, what was the reasoning for, wanting that sweaty fall camp?
Well, I think to prepare you for these moments, right? But I have looked at Thursdays right now. It's supposed to turn a little bit more like fall. So, comes to the ever-ending ebb and flow here at Champaign, right? My wife experienced our first thunderstorm in our new house with a lot of windows the other day, which was an experience and a half at 1:30 in the morning when I'm trying to get a couple hours sleep to go through that. So it's just part of Champaign. I told our guys the good news is today is obviously Tuesday morning. We just finished practice. It's a hot day today, but 7:30 on Thursday night, the sun's not going to be a factor. The heat shouldn't be a factor. Let's hydrate, get ourselves ready to play in a big game on Thursday night and see where it goes.
And do you put that into a game plan? Wind, sun, all that kind of stuff?
100%. Obviously I'm on UTC, but a couple kick times got announced, right? You always pay attention to when you're kicking off in the stadium, how that affects you. The reason that we did six practices during fall camp in the evening was because we had this game as well as the Indiana game. We knew that was going to be a night game. We knew the other two games were set at 3:00. So Part of what we did, you know, almost a month and a half ago was a direct reflection of what we knew this kick time was going to be.
You guys were... Go ahead.
Yeah, is this extra time between games afforded you any chance to install against Wisconsin, kind of like you did in fall camp?
That's a great question, but no. As coaches, we'll definitely do some things. But, you know, just to get into that bye week, where we were physically, especially at certain positions, I really felt it was time to rest our essential ones, right? By essential ones, I mean guys that are playing 60-plus snaps a game. You know, we played a Saturday game and just felt that in that window, especially Indiana, we played a lot of snaps. That was a hot game, even hotter in the locker room. So there were some things that we had to go through to kind of just make sure that our guys were right. Tuesday, Wednesday, we got really good work. So now on Wednesday, our twos took over and ran our offense. So, you know, during a normal game week, I'd say the ratio is probably 75-25. Your ones get 75% of the reps. Twos get 25%. We actually flipped that during the bye week, so our twos got 75% of the reps on Wednesday, and then Thursday we went back to the ones being the ones all day, but then Thursday we went back to twos and Devo. So really tried to allocate our reps more efficiently to guys that hadn't gotten a lot.
You guys got a chance to be out on the road Friday, and I think just for maybe a little bit before. How do you feel like that reception was, and just what do you like about being able to get out there on Friday?
You know, first off, with two bye weeks, you know, I have kind of bye week schedule, so I've traditionally gotten out on Sunday and Monday, and I've gotten out on Thursday, Friday, and a little bit on Saturday. So that allowed, you know, you have 42 evaluation days, so we use 21 of those days each one. But for us, this week, this year, you know, the championship games are in Champaign. So for me, I'm actually holding back a few days so that when championship games come here Thanksgiving week, I'm going to be able to go out there and you know, shake hands with the high school coaches of the guys that are in Memorial. So I always thought that was something I loved doing when I was at my other stop that played championship games in our home stadium. So there's a little bit different factors for this year, but currently we've used 21 evaluation days, so I've got 21 left. I'd like to stay back, so 19 days going into that bye week too. Right now we're not going out on Friday or Saturday because I really want to concentrate on, you know, having a great game on Thursday and then having our turnaround preparation time. You know, Wisconsin plays at 7, you know, late game on Saturday night, so it allows us to have two more days before that next opponent.
Need a little good news in your life? State Farm has new lower car insurance rates in Illinois, so you can now get the service and convenience of State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow at an even better price. That's right. State Farm can help you save more cash and get the good neighbor service you deserve. It's the real deal for car insurance. State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is ready to help you save in Champaign-Urbana. Call Kurt today at 352-1411. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
PDR Automotive in Urbana has been providing quality auto repair service for almost 50 years. Trusted by AAA Motor Club, PDR employs ASE-certified technicians that use the latest in diagnostic equipment. They offer nationwide warranties and are even authorized to perform vehicle maintenance that won't void your factory warranty. Check them out 24/7 online at PDRauto.com. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
If you're not familiar with Lifeline Connect, this is a program that helps men get off drugs and alcohol. They do a tremendous job with their 24 beds. Funding the Dream is a series of luncheons where you can go enjoy a lunch for free and see the dorm and learn more about how you can help Lifeline Connect. For more information, simply go to lifelineconnect.org and you can help change lives and generations. lifelineconnect.org, healing men in the name of Jesus.
Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And I'm Luke Goody, your favorite guard.
You know, Luke, you're the go-to guy when we need that corner three.
And I know Good Vibes is the go-to place when you want a great TV.
That's right, Luke. Our mission is to make your shows and games look and sound live.
Sounds simple, but you have to really put in the work to be good at anything.
You got that right. I can tell by your defense, hundreds of hours of serious practice are behind it.
I guess in 50 years, Good Vibes has a few hundred hours getting good at-home entertainment as well.
Lots of practice, a talented team, and the best equipment, like LG OLED TVs.
Same here. My teammates, the gym, and the coaches all make me and my game better.
But you have to want to be the best. That comes from inside and can't be taught. I think you, me, and LG have that in common. I can't wait to watch you on the court this fall.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Stacy LaFever with Girl Scouts of Central Illinois. Please join us on Thursday, September 22nd at City View Banquet and Meeting Center in Champaign for our signature event of Diamonds, Desserts, and Distinction, our 30th Distinction Edition. We are honored to recognize That's What She Said co-founder Carrie Rosso and National Director Jeanette Jerzyk as our Women of Distinction. We recognize Carrie and Jeanette's inspiration and impact on Girl Scouts and our community in sharing women's extraordinary stories and giving back. Join us 6 to 8 p.m. on September 22nd for Cocktail Hour, heavy hors d'oeuvres, a raffle of $1,000, $500, and eight $100 gift cards from our friends at Flora Gems, a Girl Scout cookie-inspired dessert competition among area chefs, and recognition of our honorees, Carrie Rosso and Jeanette Jerzyk. Tickets for the event are $75. All proceeds help fund leadership development programs for Girl Scout. For more information and to purchase your ticket, go to getyourgirlpower.org. That's getyourgirlpower.org. See you on September 22nd for Diamonds, Desserts, and Distinction, 30th Distinction Edition.
Hi, my name is Kelly Doherty with OSF Healthcare, and I am a certified nurse midwife in the obstetrics and gynecology department. It's such a thrill being a part of a great team bringing life into the world. We have so many different options for expecting mothers to choose when it comes to our services. For example, the open birthing rooms that can facilitate guests and having a special playlist of music to help soothe mom during delivery. These help tap into what I do as a midwife and really bond during the birthing process to focus on mom and baby and getting them close to each other as soon as possible. We also offer water therapy and other alternative labor management options. Resting, recuperating, and getting a good meal are all on our radar to make a family comfortable in this new chapter, and you'll find it all at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. If expecting parents want to explore their options, just visit our website to meet with me or any of our staff and get a tour of our fabulous state-of-the-art facility, including our labor and delivery suites and our special care nursery. Visit our website for all the details at osfhealthcare.org.
Hey, Lana fans, it's Georgia B at Stevie J Broadcasting, and you are listening to the amazing ESPN Radio 93.5.
Okay, I just found out my favorite thing on BetUS, betus.com. Go there, sign up. It's easy. Just hit the login button. Use promo code 935. That's 935. Get it? Our radio station, ESPN 93.5. It's like 125% extra. So you bet 100, you get like $100 to bet. I mean, it's amazing. Some of that goes to the casino. I think 25% to the casino. They got casino, racebook, live betting. Obviously, everything you need on the sports side of things. And while I was on here, Derek Piper,
yep,
I went to a thing called Novelty. And, you know, we were just sitting there playing around with it. And one of the things you can click on is Tom Brady. Now, keep in mind, he's married. They have odds of Tom Brady's next girlfriend. Taylor Swift, clubhouse leader at plus 1,200. Jennifer Lopez is in here. Jada Pinkett Smith. Alyssa Milano is in there. Interesting.
Halle they have Berry. Thought of everything.
They really have. Lindsey Vonn, didn't she? Dated Tiger Woods, I believe.
Yeah.
So
you can also bet on Zach Wilson's next girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And on down on the list, Jane
I thought
Fonda.
I would say age of next. Oh, Jane Fonda's
you can get
on there.
200 to 1. You like some older? She's 82.
Oh my God.
Another one that might be worth a bet, Sarah Palin, 150. Wow. 150 to 1. She did get divorced in 2020.
Oh, she did.
Just bringing up the facts.
Okay. Well, pretty lady.
Don't bet your money on that.
No.
This is kind of a good laugh.
It is kind of funny. I assume they throw these on her to be funny. I don't know. I guess
they'll take your money if you want to
talk
lay
about
it on that.
Talk about a bet that just is going to stay out there for a while. You know that. Hey, listen, BetUS. They have some humor, obviously. BetUS.com 800-79-BetUS or just go to BetUS.com and use promo code. Either way, phone or web. Use promo code 93.5, and you'll get some extra money when you spend your money to bet. And I'm a fresh winner of a parlay.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is.
You could also bet tonight, Cardinals plus 105 at San Diego tonight against the Padres. Adam Wainwright on the hill for the Cardinals. Mm. Mike Clevinger for the Padres.
Okay.
The Cardinals' magic number now is 7.
Is it really?
14 games to go.
Okay.
The magic number for the Cardinals is 7.
The Brewers lost last night.
They did.
So
play the Mets again today.
Okay. 8.5 out. Cardinals starting this little vicious 9-game road trip tonight. 3 in San Diego, 3 in L.A. against the Dodgers, and then, of course, 3 in Milwaukee. So if you get through this, you should be in pretty good shape in terms of winning that division. I don't think they're going to overtake anybody for second, so it looks like the Cardinals will finish third overall. Not third overall. Somebody could be ahead of them, but basically have the 3 seed because of winning a division, and then they would host probably San Diego. So tonight, the next 3 nights could be a playoff preview of San Diego and the Cardinals. Hey, want to thank Jeff George joining us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. I am promising you when I say this, if you did not hear the interview with Jeff George today, please get on Stevie J, that's StevieJay.com, and listen to the podcast. He was incredible.
It's a great get.
He was incredible. Thanks to Kent Brown for that. All right, let's get out of here. We'll be previewing Illinois and Chattanooga tomorrow. We'll see you then. It is The Drive. Music done.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Madison Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
Illinois football is back. Shop at Game Day Spirit this fall and gear up to support your Fighting Illini football team. With great football designs and brand new apparel from top brands, they're the one-stop shop to get everything you need this football season. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, and online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
At Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people with amazing service, great design advice, and unbeatable selection, and the best prices in town. It's the perfect time to update your home with waterproof flooring, carpet, hardwood, tile, and more. Then complete your rooms by shopping our incredible selection of furniture and accessories. We also offer great financing options. Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people.
It's the most enchanting time of year. Pumpkins, gourds, and mums appear. And you can get it all this fall at Prairie Gardens. Create your dream garden with an explosion of color with the prettiest mums around. All on sale. And you'll love the fresh cabbage, kale, and pansies. Plus a bounty of pumpkins and gourds aplenty. With PG Plant experts always on hand to answer your garden questions. At Prairie Gardens, locally owned. Plant experts, extraordinary gardening, home decor, and more.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.